You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, enlightened, lightfast, lighthearted light bulbs. This is Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. Today's show is episode 230. And of course, I am your humble host, Karen, and we are your flavorful flock of fledglings flabbergasted by flatulence.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
Flabbergasted does, that word reminds me of flatulence. It sounds like a...
Like it has flab.
And gas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Flab gas.
And you need both for a fart. Flab can't have a gas. Fart without the other.
Thanks, Dad. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm happy to announce and also sad to announce. It's been a while since we've had an installment of our errors and omissions and corrections segment.
Actually...
We're all learning here. And you know what? This is... I made the worst kind of error, I think, in trivia, which is, you know, like if you give like the wrong year for a movie, like, okay, who cares? You're off by 1 year, right? I mean, I care, but it's not... But this error that I made, it's the actual real piece of trivia is far more interesting than how I explained it. So on our episode, Seeing Red, so I was talking about how in traffic light detection, you will often see in many cities a cutout section in the asphalt there leading up to the light. Here's what I said. I described it as a pressure plate, which it is not. It is not a pressure plate. It is a powered induction loop or inductive loop. And what it is essentially a little loop of wire, metal, and it works on largely the same principle as a metal detector. You know, you see somebody down to the beach with a metal detector, and they've got kind of the disc-shaped thing on the end, sort of the business end. And exactly. And what is in there is a little inductive loop, and when it passes over a piece of metal that is large enough, the right type of metal, it will change the wave that is being detected. And in a case of a metal detector, it makes the roar sound. And in the case of a traffic light detector, it doesn't make a roar sound, but it does detect the mass of your metal in your car above that loop. And it sends a signal to the little box off to the side that says, hey, there's a car waiting here. Go ahead and change the light. The reason that a motorcycle doesn't always trigger it is that it does have less mass, but it's not the gravity on a pressure plate. It's that there may not be enough metal in there to trigger the signal. And the same for a bicycle. Thank you to those of you who wrote in to correct me here. And yeah, I say I feel bad because that's a much cooler piece of technology, I think, than just simply having a loop completed by a pressure plate.
Yeah.
One more addition to our traffic light talk that really, for some reason, people feel really passionate about driving in traffic. I don't know why. But Miles from Twitter notified us, amazing fact, in Syracuse, New York is the only traffic light that is upside down.
Mm-hmm. What?
Green on top and not red on top. And there's a reason why, and this is because in Syracuse, New York, a lot of Irish immigrants came to work on the Erie Canal. And after they're done building the canal, they kind of settled in Syracuse, New York.
Hmm.
Now, a lot of Irish immigrants, there's a deep-rooted rivalry with the English when the town installed their first traffic light at an intersection. They didn't really like the fact that red was on top of green on the traffic light. So a lot of vandals started throwing rocks and breaking the light. And after a long time of basically not having a functional traffic light, they finally changed so that that intersection in Syracuse, New York has a upside down traffic light to show its Irish heritage. Well, without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot. All right, I have a random trivial pursuit card. You guys have your barnyard buzzers. Let's answer some questions. Here we go. Blue Wedge for geography. Ooh, Chris, you should know this.
Oh boy.
After the Vatican City, what is the next smallest country in the world, which also has the shortest coastline?
It's Monaco.
Yes, yeah. It's Monaco from your tiniest country quiz.
Yep.
3.5 miles of coast. That's like a 5K. You run a whole 5K. Pink wedge for pop culture. Who was the first African-American actor to anchor Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update?
First African. Okay.
Dana.
Michael Che?
It is Michael Che.
Yeah.
Michael Che.
Yeah.
Yellow Edge. In 1999, Macau was transferred to Chinese sovereignty from which European country? Oh, Colin.
Was that Spain?
Nope. Incorrect.
Macau. Am I on the right peninsula?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Portugal.
It's Portugal.
Not to be confused with Hong Kong, 1997, and that's with England. Macau was 1999 and transferred from Portugal. All right, Purple Wedge. Norman Mailer called which flamboyant journalist, quote, the most perfect writer of my generation?
Whoa,
Colin.
Yeah. I'm just, in terms of era and the description, is that Truman Capote?
Yes, Truman Capote, starring Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He was also a person.
Yes, Capote.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Green Wedge for science. After the ego and the superego, what is the third part of the personality according to Sigmund Freud? Chris.
The id.
The id. Mm-hmm. Last question, Orange Wedge, sports and leisure. Okay. Name one of the two sibling pairs who have been the number one draft picks in their respective sports.
So just one of the pairs of siblings?
Yes. So there's
like the Mannings?
What are their names?
Oh, Eli and Peyton?
Correct. Like, yeah. Okay. Correct. For football.
Uh-huh.
I don't know this other pair.
Okay.
Nika and Chiney Ogumike.
Yeah. Nika and Chiney Ogumike. They're in WNBA.
So basketball and football.
That's a really good. That's a good trivia night trivia question.
I wonder if it has changed. So this is 2016 card. Because I know a lot of brothers in hockey.
I'm going to flex a little bit here, hopefully. I think in the WNBA, I think the Ogumike sisters are now on the same team.
Whoa!
I'm going to have to look that up here. Yes. They
play on the same team?
They both play for the Sparks now. Yeah, Nika.
Wow!
Yeah, Chiney, Ogumike both play for the LA Sparks.
And we have our special Purple Patreon pledge fact. This one is from Kevin from Seattle. Cool animal factoids to share on the show. So, number one, Kevin writes, and also, this is very important, Kevin has scientifically cited all of his facts to like actual research papers.
All right. Yeah. So listen up, Patreons. The bar has been set now.
Kevin came here to play. Here we go. First fact. Wild pandas love poop.
What?
Fresh horse poop in particular. They sniff it. They rub it on their face. Yikes. They roll around in it. Why? Probably scientists have theorized that it's because it's a way to stay warm. Developed back when their habitat was near, you know, horsepower trade routes. So a lot of traffic from horse carriages, and the horses would poop, and the poop is warm, and pandas like to stay warm. And somehow they've developed this attraction. All right. Fact number two. Pigeons can tell the difference between a Picasso and a Monet. And this was done by a Japanese scientist who held these tests, this whole research, and they trained them to identify what's a Monet painting and what's a Picasso painting. And the pigeons get it right 90% of the time. Is that wild? Like, it doesn't even matter what color. They can be shown in black and white, and the trained pigeons can still tell what is a Monet-style imagery and what is a Picasso
That's style interesting. Imagery.
Hmm. And then number three, Kevin's third fact, animal fact, petting a dog lowers your blood pressure by as much as 10%.
I've read that, wow. And cats too. I've read that. That, yeah.
I'm like, you're like, and cats too.
I need to advocate for cats too.
I mean, obviously, it's also very good for the dog to be petted. Thank you, Kevin, for these wonderful animal facts and for your support.
Absolutely.
Today's episode, this week. So every fifth episode, we don't have a topic. We don't have a theme. We have each prepared and written our own quizzes to quiz each other and quiz you guys, listeners. So this week, it is our all quiz bonanza number, let's do math, 46.
Okay, so here's a quick, fun word game kind of thing. This is a sequel. I'm going to call all the way back to All Quiz Bonanza. I don't know which one it was, but it was episode 55. So it must have been All Quiz Bonanza 11. Number 11.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
March 2013. It was a long time ago.
Wow.
I called this one The Missing Link, where I give you a funny sounding two-word phrase. This two-word phrase is made up of the first word of a two-word phrase and the last word of a different two-word phrase. Okay. They share the word in common. It's like the before and the after. So I give you the two-word phrase. You give me the word that would slot in the middle to make a phrase with the first word and with the second word.
Okay.
Chris, do you have an example from your last installment?
Yes. In my last installment, the first one was stained eye.
Glass.
Yes, there we go. So I said stained eye, and the answer was glass. Stained glass, glass eye. So there you have it. I've got 8 brand new ones for you all 9 years later. But here we go. I try to make them a little funnier this time. So try not to get distracted by the mental image of the new phrase that's been made. Try to figure it out. Okay, here we go. Missing Link, part 2. It's a buzz-in quiz. If your barnyard buzzer's ready. Times dance. Colin.
Square.
Square. Yeah. And square new dance. Roman.
Nice. Yeah, it was like dance. New Roman dance. That's not a...
But also that's interesting because times, a plural times, kind of narrows it down to only a couple things.
It does. Yeah, right. These, I think these seem difficult maybe at first, but then there's only certain number of... Yeah, there's... Yeah, you'll figure it out. Okay, here we go. Okay. Question number 2. Ahem. Game George. It's Colin again.
Boy.
Boy.
Oh,
Game Boy and Boy curious. George. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If you can, if anybody can think of a word that actually does relevant phrases, then you still get a point. Yep. All right, here we go. Number 3. Hand cheese. Hand cheese. Wow. Dana.
Grated? Hand grated and grated cheese?
not quite. Yeah. Okay. Colin?
Cream?
Cream is what I was looking for. Hand cream and cream cheese. Yeah.
You guys are so good.
Number 4. Friendly drill. Friendly drill. All right, I'm going to give this to Karen because, what? You know, well, because, I mean, look, I mean, you
we
know.
We get actual points that last years.
That is true. Somebody is keeping track of this. Okay. All right. Okay, Dana.
Fire.
Friendly fire and fire drill. Mm. Yes. Mm. Okay, number 5. Dinner armor.
Oh.
Colin.
Huh. Plate.
Yeah. Plate. Dinner plate and plate armor. Yep. Okay. Number 6. Condensed man. Dana.
Milk.
Yeah. Condensed milk and milkman. Very good. Just 2 more to go. Number 7. Compact golf. Dana.
Disc.
Disc. It's disc. It is? Compact it's disc and disc golf. Nice. All right. 1 final clue. Number 8. .com bath. Colin.
Bubble.
Bubble. Yeah. .com bubble and bubble bath.
Yeah.
Very wow. good. Good well, job, Colin.
Good job, Colin, and yeah. good job, Dana, for shutting Karen out. just I absolutely got shutting her down in this one.
That's okay.
You never know.
All right, it is my turn, and it is the return of Drop a Deuce.
Hey, Drop a Deuce. Oh, hey.
From yeah. last season, I will be asking you trivia questions from, spanning different categories. Each question has a large set of possible answers, and it is your job to write down just two of these answers. You'll get a point for each unique correct answer, meaning if any of your answers overlap with the other person, then it cancels out and you don't get the point. So the strategy here is to write down not only correct answers, but correct answers that you don't think the others will write down.
Yep.
Okay. So for example, so if I asked you Drop a Deuce and name me two of Snow White's seven dwarves, if Dana writes Doc and Chris writes Doc, they cancel out. They don't get the point.
Okay.
I'm going to say this. It's a little hard. I made it a little hard, but I think we can do it.
Okay.
It was hard last time too, if memory serves.
Yes. Part of the reason is I'm like, man, we really have to kind of force ourselves to visit maybe parts of trivia that we're not very strong at. And so hopefully we'll learn something along the way.
Okay.
I just got a sports question earlier in the show. I know. How much more work do I have to do here?
I know.
All right, everybody. Papers, pens, ready. Let's drop some deuces. Here we go. Question one. Einstein Brothers Bagels is the famous national mega bagel bakery chain. In the 90s, they pretty much bought out all the local bagel chains in the nation, including our hometown college bagel place, Noah Bagels.
Yeah.
So their bestseller is, of course, the Everything Bagel. Tell me, what are two of the five toppings that go on an Everything Bagel from Einstein Brothers Bagels?
Wow, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Name two of the five toppings.
Karen, nobody is better at this quiz than me at getting inside my own head. And
I know, I'm like paralyzed with which one will they write down?
Yeah. Yeah.
But here we go.
All right. Answers up. Let's see those answers. Colin says garlic crunchies and poppy seed. Chris says garlic and sesame seed. And Dana says poppy seeds and onion. The five correct answers are sesame seeds, poppy seeds, onion, garlic, and salt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost put down salt, but I thought people.
Yeah. 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 Yep. Same. So you each get 1 point and I get zero. As I told you, no one better than me getting inside my own head. Hilarious.
So again, the five everything, which is not everything. sesame seeds, poppy seeds.
Yeah. This is my lawsuit.
Onion, garlic, and salt. Yeah. All right. Here's a trivia classic. We often get asked, which U.S. state produced the most U.S. presidents?
Mm.
The state where most presidents were born. Mm-hmm. And Virginia is often cited as the correct answer. But there is a technicality. Eight presidents were born in Virginia. However, this also includes when Virginia was not technically America yet. It was British America, which is why a lot of people are born there. Anyways, Virginia is the birthplace to eight presidents. Drop a deuce and name me two of them. As you guys write down, fun fact, the next state that produced the most presidents is Ohio.
Okay.
It's Ohio. But number one is Virginia, if we're counting Virginia from British America. Eight presidents.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Answers up. Let's see those presidents. Colin, you put Madison and Monroe. Chris says Washington and Jefferson, and Dana says Jefferson and Quincy Adams. Here are the presidents.
Okay.
William Henry Harrison, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James Monroe, Zachary Taylor, John Tyler, George Washington, and Woodrow Wilson. Looks like Jefferson, Dana, and Chris, you guys cancel each other out.
Yep.
Good job. Okay. Colin, that was a good one.
Yeah, yeah, I figured like just roll the dice and go for the non maybe household names.
Yeah.
they're US presidents.
Compared to Washington and Jefferson.
Here we go. The Real Housewives is a hit TV franchise from Bravo that was initially inspired by the scripted show Desperate Housewives. Now, this massive docu-soap TV show has spawned over 10 U.S. cities and 13 international cities. Please name me any of these two city/areas where there has been a Real Housewives season.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How many international cities did you say, Karen?
13.
Wow. I had no idea.
Operation. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right.
And for two extra bonus points, name me two Housewives cast members, if you can name them. I'll repeat my question as you guys write down your answers. The Real Housewives is a hit TV franchise from Bravo. Now the show has spawned over 10 U.S. cities and 13 international cities. Please drop a deuce and name me any of the two city/areas where there has been a Real Housewives season. Bonus points if you can name two actual housewife stars, I guess. All right. Get that bonus point, Dana.
I'm trying. Oh, okay. All right.
Answers up.
All right. I did one that I know, and then I guessed on one city.
Okay. Colin put Salt Lake City. You are correct. And London. Ah, there is no London
I was trying to just guess.
Chris put Beverly Hills and Atlanta. Correct, correct. And then Dana, you put Salt Lake City. Potomac. Yes, correct, correct.
Oh, wow.
And you even wrote Nene Leakes, who is from Atlanta. And Countess Luann, from New York City. Good job. Did you just add those names?
No, I folded them under. Because it was a two-parter. So what did Colin put?
Colin put Nene Leakes and Lisa Rinna. Yes, Lisa Rinna is in Beverly Hills. Other names you might have heard, Bethany Frankel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
She's from New York. Lisa Vanderpump. Kelsey Grammer's ex-wife, Camille Grammer, and Denise Richards. Denise Richards was on a season.
I don't know any of those people. I know there's the show Vanderpump Rules, but I didn't know her first name either.
Which is a spinoff.
Got it. Wow. What a universe this show has spawned. Yeah.
Woo. Time to dive into our weakest trivia area, and that is the magnificent sport of soccer or association football. In the English Premier League, there have been 7 teams that have won the championship title. Please drop a deuce and name me two of these champion English Premier League teams.
Right. This is tricky. Do it because I feel like I know more teams, but I'm not confident that they've all won the title, and I'm also not confident. Or do I just go for the two that I think Chris and Dana are gonna put?
You're changing my strategy.
I feel like I need to be a spoiler here.
Okay.
Oh, it's your strategy to. Maybe to cancel out other people.
I don't know, man. See, again, inside my own head here.
You have to be right, too.
Yeah, it's true. Exactly. You have to be right. That's right.
There's like 50 teams that play. Only 7 have won the championship title. One team has won it a lot of times.
Right.
Here we go. Okay. Answers up. Colin, you put Man City and Man United. Manchester City, Manchester United. Correct, correct. Chris put Liverpool and Manchester United. Correct, correct, but you cancel out Manchester United. And then Dana put Arsenal and Manchester City. You are also correct, but also canceled out.
Well, that worked out great for me, didn't it?
Yep.
Dana and Chris get a point.
I think you have to try to get ones other people aren't gonna get. I don't think being the spoiler really.
Well, as Karen said though, you have to be right. And
true. Oh well, yeah. Karen, so what are the 7?
Manchester United, Chelsea, Manchester City, Arsenal, Blackburn Rovers, Leicester City. It's spelled Leicester by notes.
It's Leicester.
Leicester City. And then Liverpool.
Leicester. Okay.
Leicester. Good job.
That was good job.
Stayed right in the little area that I. Yeah.
Chelsea was the other one that I.
Chelsea.
Could I almost. Of, but again, I almost put Chelsea, but yeah, yep. I should have.
Here's a fun one. Do you guys actually know what toy was the first toy ever advertised on TV?
Oh,
we've talked about this.
Yeah,
this
do you remember what it was?
Man.
A stick.
a log.
Was it like Slinky or Potato Head?
It was Potato Head. You know, the early Potato Head, it's just like the body parts and you're supposed to stick it on a real potato and then they start rotting.
They were like nails with mouths and eyes.
Throughout the years, different versions of Potato Head have been released. In fact, there have been 8 Star Wars themed Mr. Potato Heads, each one based on a character from the Star Wars franchise. Mm-hmm. And each one has a potato pun name. Mm-hmm. Can you brainstorm and name me 2 of the 8?
You want us to get together?
Oh, no. Individually.
No, individually. Okay. You said brainstorm. Okay.
Well, brainstorm in your head.
I, in fact, have some of these
really
in my garage. Oh. You
but
know,
do you remember the names?
We'll see, won't we?
So I'll give you a hint to the characters, Star Wars characters. We have the main protagonist.
No hints. Come on.
No, the villain, the foot soldier, the royalty, the droid, the pilot, and the bounty hunter.
Oh.
Just think of any potato pun names you can think of for Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you extra points if your name is better. My baby has someone gave her a Mr. Potato Head, a hand-me-down with a lot of accessories. Mm. She doesn't understand it yet, but like she just stuffs things in the holes.
She'd
make these like abominations where like the eyes are in the butt and then the arms are coming out from the eye holes.
Oh, she understands it. she knows what she's doing.
Yeah. That's what anyone Alice can does. Play by the rules.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
They look like weird, like protozoa. All right, answer is up.
Here we go.
Colin put Spud Trooper correct and Darth Tater correct. Chris also put Darth Tater, cross that out, and C-3PTATO. Oh, you're so close. I'm going to give you that point. That's not one of the right answers, but I like it a lot. Dana also put Darth Tater and C-3 potato.
Oh, man.
Now, wait a second. They get a point for the same answer?
No, I think we cross it out.
All right.
So the droid was actually, you know, I like your answer better. The droid version is R2 potato.
Mine is way better.
Darth Tater, Spud Trooper, Luke Frywalker, Yam Solo, Spud a Fett. That's terrible. That's a terrible one. Princess Tater.
Nope.
That's not even related.
And Darth Mash. I think Maul.
Yeah.
Horrible. Darth Tater is good. I think I don't know why they didn't do C-3 potato.
Yeah.
We independently thought of it
in
2 minutes while we were brainstorming.
Luke Frywalker is fine. What about like Boba Tot or something like that with T-O-T-T?
It's probably like a registered trademark, right?
I know, there's probably some reason.
I will say, I don't have all of these. I have a few of these I've received as gifts. You know, this is the kind of thing where if you're a Star Wars fan, someone gives this to you.
Colin must be really clear that he did not go out and purchase these for himself. He only buys canon Star Wars droids. However, if you give him non-canon merchandise, he will begrudgingly keep it in the closet.
And then cut you out of my life entirely.
You're dead to him.
I don't think that Spud Trooper is a clever name, but I will say that it comes with a clever little accessory, is that instead of a little blaster, the Spud Trooper, it has a little potato masher.
Okay. Oh, cute.
Yeah, it's kind of cute.
That's cute.
Yeah.
I kept getting stuck. Like, I wrote down Boba Fett, and I was like, Boba Feta? And I was like, it's not potatoes. That's cheese.
Boba Feta would be good.
Yeah.
Last question for this Drop a Deuce quiz. The Nobel Peace Prize, unlike any other Nobel Prizes, is given out in Oslo, Norway, instead of Stockholm, Sweden. Name me two past Nobel Peace Prize laureates or winners. Name me two past Nobel Peace Prize laureates. And if you need an extra hint, know that there have been 4 U.S. presidents awarded the Peace Prize. Again, I'll repeat the question. The Nobel Peace Prize, unlike any other Nobel Prizes, is given out in Oslo, Norway, and not in Stockholm, Sweden. Name me two past Peace Prize laureates or winners. If you need an extra hint, know that there have been 4 U.S. presidents awarded the Peace Prize. But you can also name non-U.S. presidents. Yeah. Whew. They started awarding in 1901, so maybe that helps.
Maybe.
All right. Everybody ready, Colin?
Yep.
All right. Flash your answers up. Colin put Desmond Tutu, correct. Barack Obama, correct. And Chris, you're making my eyes bleed. C3 potato. No, it is Barack Obama. Nelson Mandela. Correct, correct. Cancel out. Also nope, cancel out with Dana. Too.
Exact same. Did Woodrow Wilson win?
Yes. So the 4 presidents. Yeah. Teddy Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, Jimmy Carter, and Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And Al Gore won, but he was a VP.
Did not know or forgot that Wilson and
For the League of Nations.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nations.
Okay. All right.
I almost put it, and I was like, I'm not 100% he won. So.
Okay. I got to say the best thing to come out of all of this is the fact that I think we really have a good start to the line of Star Wars cheeses. That
yeah. Well, what else
pitch
you got?
Up to Disney. Oh, a C-3PO was. was
that's
my
a really
idea.
Good one.
Yeah.
Prince Swiss Leia.
Prince Swiss Leia. That's great. That's great.
Oh,
Prince
man.
Swiss Leia.
Good job.
That's a great quiz format, Karen. Yeah, you gotta. Yeah.
Dana and I fully canceled each other out of the last 2 4. Questions. Yeah.
All right. I have a quiz for you all. This is a theme music lyrics round.
Ooh.
So I'll give you the name of the song. I'll give you the performer. And I'll also give you how many words from the lyrics that I'm looking for.
Oh, we have to write the lyrics.
Yeah, I'll read the lyrics and then I'll stop. And then that's how many words I need you to fill
okay.
in.
Okay, the okay.
And then at the end, there is a theme to these songs.
Ooh.
Nice.
Perfect.
Let's write it down. So that way you have a chance to like think about the number of words, I think.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. All right. And I'm going to try to read these with like minimal musicality. I'll really try.
Yes,
some of these are very catchy. It's hard to not. So the first song is You Can't Hurry Love by The Supremes. I'm going to look for 11 words. So here are the lyrics. You can't hurry love. No, you just have to wait. She said, now 11 words. You can't hurry love. No, you just have to wait. She said.
Excellent opportunities for embarrassment here, Dana. This is truly fantastic.
What do you think she said?
I got 11. I got 11.
Okay. Oh. I have 11, so yeah.
All right.
Oh, Chris is going to dominate. Okay. I'll go first because I probably have the highest probability of being wrong. Love don't come easy. It's a game of give and take.
I also put that.
That's what that is also what I wrote.
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. You just have to wait.
Song number 2, Love Story by Taylor Swift.
Oh,
4
no.
words. Mm-hmm. Little did I know that you were Romeo. You were throwing pebbles and my daddy said, now 4 words. Little did I know that you were Romeo. You were throwing pebbles and my daddy said.
Okay, I have 4 words.
Okay. Also 4 words.
Oh man. My daddy said.
I'm taking a educated guess here. I do not know the song. I wrote You Have to Go.
Does everybody have that? Are there any other answers? Okay, Chris, what do you have?
I think I actually might know that. I mean, I've just sort of vaguely heard it. I think it might be stay away from Juliet.
Okay, what do you have, Karen?
I put don't take her away.
The answer is stay away from Juliet. Okay. Oh. Chris got it.
Oh, wow.
Don't ask me the rest of the lyrics of that song. I just know that.
Am I dead? Yeah.
Yeah. Chris, it's okay. You don't need couch it. I think I might know it. It's okay.
No. I've heard it like a couple of times, but yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, you think that I, Chris Kohler, on this show would be embarrassed in revealing any kind of musical taste whatsoever? I just listened to Enya all day.
And Fleetwood Mac. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Here we go. Girls Just Want to Have Fun by Cyndi Lauper.
Okay.
Looking for seven words. The phone rings in the middle of the night. My father yells seven words.
It's seven words.
Seven? Okay, mm-hmm. Great.
I got seven.
Okay.
Okay. Now there's two verses to this, yes, that have very similar,
yes,
seven, uh-huh, word lines.
Mm-hmm. It's mother and father.
I think this one is what you gonna do with your life.
Okay.
That's exactly what I put.
I put when you gonna live your life right.
That's the other one.
That's the mom says that. The dad says what you're gonna do with your life. All right.
Phone rings.
In the middle of the night. Okay. Okay. The Gambler by Kenny Rogers.
Oh,
nine words. It's not too bad. Okay, nine words. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never. Nine words. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run, and you never.
Nine words?
Nine words.
Those are all the words I already know from the song. I don't know anything else.
Oh, okay.
I am embarrassed. I don't know. I only know that song from a commercial. I think it was a Geico commercial.
Oh, okay.
Oh, dear.
Was it the lizard, like playing poker?
No, it was Kenny gecko? Rogers.
No, it was Kenny Rogers gecko cashing that check.
Okay. It's Karen's turn to go first.
Okay, I don't know the song, so I put Kenny Rogers, Chicken Roasters.
Okay. Did everybody else put that?
Strangely, I did. I don't know what I was saying. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table.
Yeah, yes, yep.
That is the lyric.
Oh, very good advice.
Next song, Jailhouse Rock by Elvis Presley.
Oh.
Four words. Sad sack was sitting on a block of stone, way over in the corner, weeping all alone. The warden say, hey, buddy, don't you be no square. If you can't find a partner, four words. Sad sack was sitting on a block of stone, way over in the corner, weeping all alone. The warden said, hey, buddy, don't you be no square. If you can't find a partner.
Wow, this is really casual that the warden's saying this.
All sorts of things were happening in that jail that day.
A lot of non-standard things in this jail setting. Yeah, very atypical. I put dance on your own.
Ooh, okay. Chris, what do you got?
If you can't find a partner, use a wooden chair.
Okay, what do you have, Karen?
You can rock anywhere.
No!
Oh, that's a good one. The answer is use a wooden chair.
Yeah. What?
Yes.
Oh. For what? Oh, to dance.
If you have no partner, right. You just
dance with a chair.
Yeah. The rocking is mandatory. Yeah, so you got to find a way to make it happen.
Just two more songs. Okay. Number six, Lean on Me by Bill Withers.
Okay,
I'm looking for six words. Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain, we all have sorrow, but if we are wise, six words. Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain, we all have sorrow, but if we are wise.
How many words?
Six.
Okay.
Chris's turn to go first.
Six words. But if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow.
What do you have, Karen?
I put, we come back strong for tomorrow.
And I've got, we'll all make it to tomorrow. But I have faith in Chris on this one.
Me too.
Chris is right. that, yes, we know that there's always tomorrow. All right. Chris is killing it. All right. Number 7, Boys Don't Cry by The Cure.
Okay.
I'm looking for 9 words. Here we go. I would tell you that I loved you if I thought that you would stay, but I know. And then 9 words. I would tell you that I loved you if I thought that you would stay, but I know.
I don't know.
Great.
Great. Fantastic.
All right, you guys ready?
Okay. Yeah, totally. It's Karen's turn to go first.
I put Friday, I'm in love, just like heaven, Robert Smith.
Okay.
I'll go next. I'm pretty sure I have this
one. Oh, it's Colin's turn to go next.
Is it Colin's turn? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's okay, Chris. I believe I have it. Is that it's too late and you've already gone away.
No. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, sorry. Now Chris's turn.
Okay, yes. I think this is absolutely it. So what was it? What set me up again for the line?
I would tell you that I loved you if I thought that you would stay, but I know.
You'll leave tomorrow, so go jump into the bay. 9 words.
Colin was the closest, I would say. that it's no use that you've already gone away.
That's right.
That you've already gone away, yes. Okay, so these had a theme. There was a theme to these 7 songs.
Oh, right. The theme.
Okay.
I'll tell you the names again of the songs.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so You Can't Hurry Love by The Supremes, Love Story by Taylor Swift, Girls Just Want to Have Fun by Cyndi Lauper, The Gambler by Kenny Rogers, Jailhouse Rock by Elvis Presley, Lean on Me by Bill Withers, and Boys Don't Cry by The Cure.
They can't be covers of
They're Taylor a mix. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Some of them are covers, some of them are not. Are these their first number one hits for these various artists?
Oh.
I don't know.
I guess so.
No, like Elvis. Some of them were in movies, but I don't think all of them were.
Are they all titles of movies?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Her love story.
Boys Don't Cry.
Of course. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's good. That's good.
Lean on me. Just want to have fun. Lean on me. Yep.
Nice.
Woo. Good job, you guys.
That was a good one.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Good Job Brain. Smooth puzzles, smart trivia. Good Job Brain.
Hey yo, you're listening to Good Job Brain, and this week it's our all quiz bonanza number 46.
Okay, I have a quiz for you all. I think I say this every time. I had a lot of fun putting this one together. I'm not lying. I did.
Okay.
This quiz is called To the Letter, and this is all around terms in English. I looked for a label for this category of terms. I had the quiz ready to go, and I'm like, all right, what are these things called? The best description or name I could find for this category of terms, which will be on the quiz, trying not to tip my hand here, is alphabetic adjectives. And by that, I'll give you a couple of examples. This is a term where it is one letter and then a word. So for example, an S hook We call it an S-hook because it is in the shape of an S. It doesn't stand for anything. It's not a shortening. D-ring would be another common hardware shape example. Like a D. That's right. Exactly. Okay. I think you guys get the concept. We will do this lightning round style. Grab your barnyard buzzers. So remember, this is if you're stuck, this is the format we're looking for. S-hook, D-ring. Here we go. This is arguably the single most common piece of clothing in America.
What?
Chris and Dana simultaneously, what do you got?
T-shirt.
The T-shirt, correct. Yeah, but probably the entire world. Maybe I'm being a little too conservative. T-shirt, I'm wearing one. I see you, at least most of you guys are wearing one too. just polling this group, right? Large migratory birds tend to favor this arrangement. Dana.
A V? A flying V?
You're very close. I'm looking for... Karen.
V formation.
V formation. Yes, yes. I'm being very picky. Everything must follow letter and word. That's right. The V formation. That's right. Yeah. Aircraft. Sometimes you'll see aircraft flying in a V formation for very similar reasons. It is birds fly in the V. It is more efficient. They can kind of draft off the bird in front of them. And aircraft, you'll see like military or fleet aircraft. They will also sometimes fly in a V formation for similar reasons. Yeah. Save some fuel. You don't tend to see smaller birds flying in Vs as much. It's kind of like
negligible.
The larger the bird, sort of the greater the effect is. Drag. And the simpler it is to sort of get on the updraft there. This is a sometimes prohibited 180 degree change of direction. Chris.
U-turn.
That is a U-turn. Mm-hmm. A U-turn, correct. This is an essential element of skyscraper construction. Karen.
I-beam?
Yes, I'm looking for I-beam. That's right. The big chunk of metal steel shaped like an I. I-beam, also sometimes called an H-beam. And the only difference is if you turn your head to the side or not. Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's a really wide H.
Yeah. Hey, you know, depends on what font you're using. If you have ever visited an original IHOP or Wiener Schnitzel franchise, you've likely been inside this type of building. Karen, again.
A-frame.
That is an A-frame. I believe you guys all buzzed in. Your math teacher might call it a graph of a sigmoid function. Didn't need the extra hint.
I was going to say S-curve.
S-curve. That's right. Right. I was going to give you another hint there with a little race car allusion as well. Right. Oh. S-curve.
Look at that. S-cargo.
All right. Look at that. S-cargo. All right. We're going to get maybe a little more obscure here in the cluing. So bear with me. You might get some funny looks, but you wouldn't be wrong if you described this rubbery item as a torus-shaped gasket. Chris.
An O-ring.
An O-ring. Yeah. Yes. Many sizes, many thicknesses, but the little round rubber ring can do so much. At the butcher shop, you could order a filet mignon and a New York strip separately, but it would be much more efficient to order them in their connected form. I'm going to give it to Dana just thematically. Dana, what do we got?
Oh, because her buzzer's the cow.
The cow buzzer, like, yeah. Okay.
Is she a big meat eater?
A T-bone?
It is a T-bone. I learned this in preparing this quiz. I did not know that T-bone is, if you take the small part of the T-bone, that's a filet or a tenderloin. And if you take the big part of the filet, that's a New York strip.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to get actually here. Technically, the porterhouse is the one that has like the full sort of filet on it. And generally, a T-bone steak generally is considered to be it's defined as having less of that filet on there.
That is correct. Yeah. The porterhouse is a larger and generally thicker cut, but they are, if you will, cut from the same sequence. Kind of just one's a little bit further forward on the cow, one's a little bit further back on the cow.
Right.
And these are American terms. They may vary on the continent, as they say. Mm-hmm. You'll find one of these under almost every household sink. Chris, again.
U-bend.
Very close. Oh, I'm not really? Looking for the U-bend. I was looking for something different. Anyone want to take another guess for another guess?
U-drain?
Is there a J? Is there a J bend also?
Wow, Chris demonstrating some incredible plumbing knowledge here. I was looking for P-trap, but I will give you...
Okay.
I will give you U-bend. Yeah, I will give you U-bend. I was looking for P-trap. But yes, both of them named after the letter. There is also a J, J-tripe.
Wow.
These are all in the category of sink traps. Yeah, basically, pipe goes down, pipe comes back up, then goes out. To the outside world.
Colin, this is the homeowner versus renter divide here.
Are you allowed to mess with the plumbing?
Something bad is happening underneath the sink.
I don't know.
No. I have to do this myself.
I can't call someone.
If you want to print and mail a brochure on a single sheet of paper, you might consider this accordion-like approach.
Huh.
You've probably seen... Karen?
Is this a B-fold?
Ooh, you're very close. It is some kind of fold. I'm looking for Z-fold. If you've been in a doctor's office, dentist's office, waiting room of any kind, you have seen a Z-fold.
Pamphlet.
Yep. In contrast to the other more common trifold, difference between a trifold and a Z-fold, trifold, the flaps fold in, Z-fold, well, they fold like a Z if you were to look at it from the side. Last one, here we go. You'll find a pair of these on a violin.
Oh, man, what are they called?
Karen.
F-holes.
Yes, Karen has it. Karen has it.
Are they really called F-holes?
They are indeed really called F-holes. Yes, they are called F-holes because it is shaped like an F. They are more broadly part of the family of sound holes.
Crazy.
Sound holes. Depending on the size and vintage and shape of the instrument, you might encounter a C hole or an S hole.
I was like, are there any that isn't funny?
Nope.
I was like, B hole, yes, also funny.
Any letter plus hole, I think it's gonna be funny. Yeah.
They're all funny.
This might be the most nerdy thing I've ever said on the show, but there is some fascinating research on F-holes, you guys. I have to say, the size and the shape of F-holes and sound holes in general, it's changed a lot over the generations and centuries of instrument making. And it's really fascinating how the instrument makers all sort of, you know, without the benefit of modern, you know, technology, sort of settled on what provides kind of just optimal resonance and optimal sound amplification for a hollow-bodied stringed instrument.
Wow.
Yeah. Researchers, they've found empirically that the relationship between the quality and the strength of the resonance that a sound hole creates, it's most closely tied to the length of the perimeter of the hole. More than it is necessarily to the shape of the hole.
Oh.
So the long kind of elongated F hole is a really good, like, you know, yeah, they just naturally, that's right, without taking up a lot of space. Yeah. The most common sound hole, just like, you know, big round, you know, hole like in the middle of an acoustic guitar, I guess actually is not the most maybe efficient, but it's certainly the simplest to create. Yeah.
I was waiting for U-boats on this.
Oh.
Well, so now U-boats would not fit in this category, Dana, because these are all right. These are the alphabetic adjectives where the shape of the letter is the descriptor itself, right? So this quiz would not include X-ray or U-boat or, other things.
I see.
Yeah.
So Colin, there is no proper term for like these kind of,
you know, I have a lot of language books on my shelf. I looked in my paper printed books. I looked online. The only term I found in two places that I looked was this term. And I thought this was good, of alphabetic adjectives. Now it's very hard to search for, of course, because if you Google that, you're going to get a list of adjectives listed in alphabetical order. Right. Yeah. So if you're a linguist out there or you know a better term for this, please let us know. I'd love to hear it. Well done.
In keeping, everybody, with my tradition of bringing back some classic quizzes, I have another installment of my In Line series, which started with, I believe, First In Line, the first lines from popular books and movies. And then there was Last In Line, and then there was Lines from Somewhere in the Middle. And so we're bringing back Last In Line TV edition. Literally the last lines ever uttered in the final episode of the final season of these television mainstay series. So I will give you the years in which the TV show was on, the years of its original run, and then I will tell you the line, the final line that was spoken by a character in the final episode of the show before it went off the air, and you will have to identify the show. Okay, so get out your barnyard buzzers and get ready for a Last In Line throwdown. The first show ran from 2015 to 2021. The final line was, "At any rate, thank you for shopping with us. Cloud9 is now closed." Dana.
Superstore.
Yes.
I didn't know it was on that long. Wow.
Yeah, right? About a big box retail store. Yes. All right. 1994 to 2004. Okay, should we get some coffee? Sure, where?
Oh.
All right, Karen.
That is Friends.
It is Friends.
Yeah. Yes. Talking about Central Perk.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. The joke being they don't get coffee anywhere else. 1982 to 1993.
Huh.
Okay, 82 to 93.
Okay.
I'm sorry, we're closed. Colin.
I am 100% sure that that is Cheers.
You are 100% right. That is Cheers. Yes.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The establishment, the bar Cheers, closed on that day. 1998 to 2004. Later that day, I got to thinking about relationships. There are those that open you up to something new and exotic. There are those that are old and familiar. Those that bring up lots of questions. Those that bring you somewhere unexpected. Those that bring you far from where you started. And those that bring you back. But the most exciting, challenging, and significant relationship of all is the one you have with yourself. And if you find someone to love the you love, well, that's just fabulous.
Dana has to get it since she was quoting it before the end.
But, Dana! Yeah.
Sex in the City.
Sex in the City.
And I remember being sick, like with the flu, and watching it, and like just she said that, and I was like, "It's so true!" Like I was so vulnerable and crying. I'm like both feel sick and like crying at the same time.
You know what? Before we started, Chris, I was actually going to ask you, like, are you including reboots and because I specifically was thinking of Sex in the City.
Oh, Sex in the City. Yes. Well, no, because they didn't.
But the new show's not called that.
The new one is not called that. So, fair. Yes, you're right. There's nothing fair. Here where they restarted it again afterwards. Yeah.
Fair.
Okay. Man, she wrote one column a week and was fabulously wealthy off of that. 1997 to 2010. Sorry, I felt that last quote was a little bit long. So, 1997 to 2010. Yep.
Oh.
Sounded like Colin. I mean, you were both at the same time.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess King of the Hill.
It is King of the Hill.
Yes.
It is King of the Hill. Yes.
Yep.
Except it was Bobby saying yep. That was the that was the twist. Yeah.
Aw.
1994 to 2009. Dr. Green, you coming?
Oh.
Karen.
Yeah. ER.
It's ER. It's ER. Very good. Very good.
Was it like a flashback?
No, it was his daughter. It was Dr. Green's daughter. The line was spoken by Carter to Dr. Green's daughter. Yeah.
Because I was like, didn't Dr. Green die?
Yeah.
And then you're like, no, his daughter. And I was like, she died? And then I was like, okay.
It's that brain teaser. God. I can't operate on him. I'm Dr. Green's daughter. Wait.
No. How's that possible?
Well, because he's dead. That's why he can't operate. 2007 to 2015. The new day brings new hope. The lives we've led, the lives we've yet to lead. A new day, new ideas, a new you.
Ooh. 2007.
To 2015.
Karen.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. I was going to say Mad Men.
It is Mad Men.
Yes.
It is Mad Men. Yes, of course, this is followed by they play the Coca-Cola advertising. Yes. Just want to be clear. But that is the final line. It's Don Draper. And he says a new you to Don Draper, who, of course, had been reinventing himself over the course of the series and does it one more time. 2005 to 2013. There's a lot of beauty in ordinary things. Isn't that kind of the point?
There's a lot of beauty in ordinary things.
2005 to 2013. This is a show that was ostensibly simply about ordinary, simple people in a boring situation.
Interesting.
Colin.
The Office.
The Office.
Oh,
The Office. Wow. Which was, of course, ostensibly a mockumentary about people in, you know, a boring workplace.
Paper company. Yep.
I feel like it just ended, but it's almost been 10 years. Yeah.
2013. Yeah. Okay. 1982 to 1988.
Okay.
He sits there all day long in his own world, staring at that toy. What's he thinking about? All right, come on, son. Let's go wash our hands, all right? All right. I think it was Colin who was first with a horse. I don't know.
I believe that's St. Elsewhere.
Yeah. Yes,
St. Elsewhere. Famously ending on, it was all the dream of a boy looking at
the
hospital in a snow globe. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, hats off to the audacity of doing that to your audience.
Absolutely.
Did people hate that ending, or were people like impressed by the
There was no Twitter then, so I'm not really sure.
As the old man here, I am old enough to remember. My family, we watched that show, and I remember like in the newspaper, like in the TV section of the newspaper, right? Yeah, like over two to three days later, I remember people were mad. My family were kind of like, what the heck?
Well, okay, can I ask, was that show whimsical at all? Or was it just like a workaday thing?
Medical drama.
Does a 6-year-old care about what grown-ups are up to in a hospital?
There was an element of Wizard of Oz to it as well. So they pull back, and the kids, his grandpa or his uncle, whoever, was also the guy who played like one of the lead doctors in the show. And somebody else, it was like he had imagined this universe incorporating real people from his life into this universe. But I mean, there was never any hint of anything like this in the show itself. Yeah. No, I mean, no.
All right, final line. 1999 to 2007. I went ahead and ordered some for the table. Karen.
I know that was going to come up because I know you've been rewatching this.
It's true.
The Sopranos.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, The Sopranos.
They're at the diner before everything cuts to black.
The last line it said is, I went ahead and ordered some for the table.
I saw recently that David Chase has finally, I think, unambiguously stated how we are meant to interpret the ending of that episode.
Which is what?
He didn't quite say it, but he said like he was talking about like, oh, I was thinking about it and, you know, I saw a little family diner type thing and I thought, oh, wouldn't it be good if Tony Soprano got it in a place like that?
Yeah.
You know, and everybody was like, oh, he did get killed. Yeah. I mean, I'm absolutely on team. He got shot in the head. Mm-hmm. Not to get too into like Soprano stuff, but like, you know, if when we first watched it, it was like, what happened? We don't know what happened. And there was a whole lot of like, oh, you know, it's ambiguous because, you know, for the rest of his life, he'll always have to live in fear. But then if you actually, like, if you watch that whole season back, and if you watch, I mean, there's a lot of, like, foreshadowing of what's going to happen, and in that scene itself, and I'm very much on team, oh, he absolutely got shot in the head and died. Yeah. Like, it's, yeah. Like
it, I like that it's his story, and then it ended. That's where it ended.
That's precisely what I think it was, thematically. Oh. It was, we were always in Tony's, you know, point of view, and then that's what it ends.
Just stopped existing.
And it ended, he was taking care of people in a little restaurant. Like, he was ordering a thing for the table.
All
right, very good job across the board, everybody. Some good use of context clues there to figure out some of those. You know, very well done.
Me reading your Twitter.
Also that, yes.
Hello, everyone. You may recognize me as Gabby from the History of Everything podcast. And my name is Bruna, and you don't recognize me from anything yet. Together, we're two scientists who explore all of the weird little questions and conspiracies of the universe in our new podcast, Mystery of Everything. Everything has an explanation.
We hope.
But that is what we're here to figure out. We will dive into the science behind many popular conspiracy theories, such as vaccines causing autism, flat earth theory, and was the moon landing fake? And if so, why the heck would anyone even do that?
But it's not just conspiracies. There's a lot of cool mysteries that we will attempt to use science to explain, such as near-death experiences, what made the Vikings go berserk, and can I control my co-host with MK Ultra?
Wait, what? Anyway, make sure to check out the Mischief Everything podcast everywhere where you find your podcasts.
All right, I have a last segment. Did you guys know that you can support us on Patreon? I know we talk about our purple patrons a lot, but we also have our green chartreuse patrons. Mm-hmm. And each month they get a PDF quiz pack of materials to run pub trivia at home with their families, by themselves, with their pets. So I'd like to share this quick quiz to end this all quiz bonanza from a few months ago that I made. And it is inspired by my partner and TikTok. It is dance fad or Australian snack. You'd actually be surprised at how many overlaps I found.
I would.
Wagon wheel. Oh. Wagon wheel is an overlap. Wagon wheel. Yeah. And then wagon wheel is also a chocolate coated kind of marshmallowy biscuit that you can get with some jam in it.
I think I've had a wagon wheel.
It's good. It's really good. I had an
Aussie coworker who brought some back once from a visit.
Australia home. Snacks yeah. are, man. My husband's going back home to Australia for a week, and I gave him a list of bringing back some weird stuff because it's wild. All right. So here we go. I'm going to give you a name, and you have to tell me if it's a dance fad or an Australian snack. Thumbs up for dance, hands up to dance, and then a thumbs down under for down Australian under. Snack. Right. There we go.
Sideways for both. Sideways for both.
Yeah.
There's no boat. I took out all the boat. Wagon wheels over here. Yeah.
Wagon wheels.
All right. Here we go. All right. How about the Chico roll?
The Chico roll.
I'm dancing just to distract every. I mean, that's what I feel like.
All right, dance with ready.
All right, everybody says down, down, down. Yes, going down under for Australian snack, a Chico roll. We have something that sounds like that, which is like a coconut peanut butter brittle stick, Chico stick, which is different, completely different. Chico roll in Australia it's like a almost like a Chinese spring roll. And it's designed to be a handheld stadium food. So it's like a fried kind of spring roll with filling in it. And then that's, you know, not messy. And you can eat it at the stadium.
Is it like an egg roll or is it other random stuff?
Is it like the length of a churro? I'm imagining like a
chimichanga.
It's like that. It's a little bit fatter than your usual kind of egg roll that you get from a Chinese restaurant. It's bigger, but it is not a churro. It's not like a super long.
Okay.
You
know, all right. Egg roll. Okay.
I don't know how it could sustain the structure. All right. Number two, the Hully Gully. Also, these could be food names or brand names. So I just want to caveat, it could be a brand name. Hully Gully, dance fad or Australian snack? Everybody says up, 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 get up and dance. Correct. It is a dance fad. Okay.
Good distractor by saying it could be a food brand as well.
Yes. Suzy Q. Thumbs up for dance fad, thumbs down for Australian snack. We got Colin and Chris say down Australian snack. Dana says up dance fad. It is a dance fad.
Yeah. Oh. There is a snack cake brand, but it must be in America, not Australia.
Yep. That was designed to be tricky.
Sneaky.
Okay. Number four, witchetty.
Okay.
Thumbs up for fad, thumbs down for snack. We got down, down, down. You are all correct. It is an Australian snack named after the witchetty grub, which is like a bush, the actual worm grub that bush people eat.
Oh, yeah.
The witchetty, this snack food is, they're like gummies. They're like candy gummies shaped like the grubs.
Gotcha.
I guess we have gummy worms. They have gummy grubs.
So yes. Yeah.
Swedish fish. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Number five, the Freddo. Do you do the Freddo or do you eat the Freddo? The Freddo. Ooh, Chris, Colin say it's a dance fad, and Dana says snack. It is a snack, Australian snack. It is a classic kind of Cadbury-ish chocolate frog filled with caramel. Yeah. It's their milk chocolate runny caramel. You know, I'm not going to ask you guys, but in this quiz, for this quiz pack, my next question is the Freddy. So I have the Freddo and the Freddy and the Freddy.
That's what tricked me.
From True Beverly Hills.
Also, Freddy. Yes. Yep.
Oh, I was thinking like the Fredo Corleone dance. You know, that kids were just
which is
yeah,
what.
Yeah. Oh no. I was, yeah.
Big shot.
Which is where you grab you. No, it's where you go on the dance floor and you grab somebody and you're like, I know it was
It was you.
The Lamington. Do the Lamington. Or eat the Lamington. Okay. Is it Lamington. Like the Charleston?
Oh my gosh. The Lamington.
I know the answer. So I'm just waiting for
the Lamington. Mm-mm. The mm-hmm. Lamington. Get me a Lamington from the corner store. No, it doesn't roll off the tongue. I'm gonna say dance.
Okay. Colin says dance. Chris and Dana say snack. It is snack. I believe it's one of probably the big national dishes of Australia, the Lamington. It is a sponge cake coated in chocolate. Rolled in desiccated coconut. Sometimes there is jam. It is very
there's
delicious.
Always it's always like
jam.
It's coated in chocolate and there's jam. There's always jam. Yeah.
Next one. The thistle. Thistle.
Oh, interesting.
Thistle. Not fizzle.
Mm-hmm. Thistle.
Thistle. Chris Collins say dance. Dana says it is a snack. It is a dance fad. The thistle. Do the thistle. Don't eat the thistle. All right.
Okay.
And last one, the Samboy. 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 One word. Samboy. All right. Snack, snack, snack. You're correct. They're their version of our Ruffles, like crinkle cut. Hard potato chips.
Covered in jam.
Covered in jam.
Desiccated coconut.
It's like a Ruffle, except it's tubular, rolled in jam.
As long as a churro.
Somebody's going to write in and be like, well, no, I mean, obviously that's wrong, but when you put Samboys in jam, that's called a jam boy.
And then rolled in coconut, a lamb boy.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Good job, everybody.
Yay.
And thank you, Australia, for all your awesome snacks. I can't wait. And that's our show. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned stuff about Australian snacks, about TV lines, about letter shape words, about music lyrics. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on all podcast apps. And on our website, goodjobbrain.com. This podcast is part of Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to other shows like Clever, Movie Therapy, and Ben Franklin's World. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm Neil.
And I'm Ken.
And we are from the Triviality Podcast, a pub trivia-style game show where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Join us each week for an hour-long game of general knowledge trivia featuring special guests from around the world, plus tons of extra themed episodes.
If you want to improve your trivia game,
or you just want to scream at us in your car when we get easy questions wrong,
then we're the show for you. Find Triviality on all your favorite podcast apps.
But you know that, because you're already listening to a podcast.